This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, we trust the program will bless you, and we also would like to hear from you. You can contact me by regular mail, and you can contact me through my website, and my website has this program on it. You can re-listen to it there. And there's other information on that website that you might find helpful. So if you would like either my mailing address or website address, I'll give it to you at the close of the program. Now, today we want to continue with our study of Samson. We're going to be looking at Judges chapter 16 today because Samson is an interesting case. We talked about him last time, and we noted that he was a very imperfect man. But he must have been a man of faith because he is listed in the Hebrew list of the Old Testament faithful. In Hebrews 11, verse 32, it says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and of David and Samuel and the prophets." And so we see that he's listed with the Old Testament faithful. I personally am not convinced that he became one of the Old Testament faithful till late in his life. However, God had chosen him for service. Sometimes we think God chooses people for salvation when in fact he has chosen them for service. And in Samson's case, from his birth, he had been chosen for service. But that does not mean that he was saved in the New Testament sense. I believe he still had to come to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. And I believe that as we look at the story, we'll find out that he did that when he was finally had his eyes put out and was taken to that temple of the Philistines, where he prayed to the Lord after his hair had grown that he would restore his strength and let him die with the Philistines. And so I think he really found out who the Lord was, but I think it was late in life, and I think he came to trust the Lord. But I think it was late in life, and I think his faithfulness to the Lord was probably in that last act that he performed in that temple, because the rest seemed to have been done, as we'll see today, in unbelief. Now, as we look at Samson, then he was the 15th judge in Israel. We'll remember that as we look at Israel's history, we know that Joseph was their savior down in the land of Israel. When they had been in Israel for some time, there rose a king that didn't know Joseph, and so Moses became their deliverer, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and delivered them through the wilderness into the promised land. Moses did not go into the promised land. He had failed God and had criticized and had beaten a rock twice when he was only supposed to speak to it. And because of his anger, this man who was called the meekest man in all the earth was not able to go into the land. He represents the law. He gave the law, and the law never brings us into the promised land. And so we look at Joshua, the one who was the captain of their salvation. And he was the one who fought their battles, led their battles in the promised land so that they could take possession of what God had given them. And after Joshua dies, then the land is ruled by judges. And that's the way God really wanted it. He wanted to raise up men for a particular purpose at a particular time to guide the children of Israel. And he wanted them reminded that it was really him that they were supposed to be subject to, not a king, not an earthly king. But the day came when they did want an earthly king. But and so the last judge, Samuel, finally anointed Saul, who we've talked about before, for them as their earthly king. But Samson was one of these judges, seemingly a very ungodly man, a very imperfect man, and yet he was one that God used to judge Israel. As we've said, his mother had prayed for him. His mother was barren. His mother wanted a child, and so he was a child of promise. He was a child of destiny because the Lord had said that he would be the one that he would use to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And the Philistines, of course, represent the flesh. And we've noted before that the flesh always is our enemy, even after we're saved. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and they're contrary to the one to the other. And so we find that Samuel was going to be the deliverer of Israel from the Philistines. But yet even Samson didn't seem to fully understand where his strength came from. And so when we come to Judges chapter 16, we find out that Samson has already had a weakness for women, and last time we looked at the first woman that he wanted to marry and the way in which he had to kill 30 Philistines because of that. And then we noted that he went into a harlot in the land of the Philistines. He went into a harlot. But now he comes to a woman whose name we all know. It's the woman called Delilah, and he loves her. On that first woman that Samson had wanted his folks to get him for a wife, his family had said, "Isn't there anyone from the land of Israel that pleases you? Why go to the land of the Philistines?" Of course, God was going to use that event to obtain victory over the Philistines. But it doesn't make any difference. He was violating the principle that they weren't to marry people who worshipped other gods. They weren't to worship and marry the unsaved. So he's disobedient at a minimum, and maybe he's really not a true child of God yet at this point. But God was going to use him, and he does use him. And so we come now to Delilah. And when we read about him in Judges 16, or when we read about Delilah in Judges 16, we read that the lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." Now, I don't know how many Philistines there were, but there must have been several, and 1,100 pieces of silver were very attractive to Delilah, apparently more attractive than her love for this man. And so she asks him where his great strength lies, and he's apparently spending time with her in kind of an intimate way because he has his head on her lap, at least with regard to the end of the story. But nevertheless, he tells her, "Well, if you'll bind me with fresh bowstrings, I'll be weak like any other man." And so she binds him with fresh bowstrings and then says, "The Philistines be upon you, Samson." And he was able to break those fresh bowstrings, and he had his strength just like he always had. But he also knew now that Delilah was going to test him when he told her where his great strength lies. She was going to, in a sense, be a traitor to her relationship with him. And he should have understood that. But anyway, she comes to him again and says, "Where's your great strength lie?" And he says, "Bind me with new ropes." And it's almost like he's mocking her. It's almost like he's mocking God, thinking that his own strength is just natural strength. "Bind me with new ropes." And so she binds him with new ropes. And of course, he's able to break the ropes when the Philistines attack him. And then she says again, well, "You've mocked me. Tell me where your great strength lies." And by now, he's got to know she's not on his side. But anyway, he feels apparently that he can have her and have his strength too. So he says, "Weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom." And so she does that. I don't know how she does that. He must have been a deep sleeper. Either that or he was playing with her. But they weave the 7 locks of his head into the web of the loom. But that doesn't cost him his strength. He's still able to overcome the Philistines when they attack him after that. And so she keeps after him and vexes him. And finally, he told her to cut off his hair. And he must not have realized that his strength came from God, but he found it out now because his hair was the testimony that he was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. It was the part of his testimony that everybody could see. Touching a dead body, everybody couldn't see. Not drinking strong wine, not everybody could see that, but they could see his hair. They could see his outward testimony, and now he violates that. And I don't think he thought it would ever be any different. Well, I know he didn't think it would be any different, because it says in Judges 16 and 20, when after she cuts off his hair, he lays his head on her lap, and she has the Philistines cut off his hair, and she says, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Now, sometimes that really causes me to think, because I believe many of us have things that the Lord has called us to do, and there's times in our life when we have great strength. And then because of our disobedience to the Lord, I think we can be just exactly like Samson. I'm not one who believes that once we're saved, we ever lose our salvation, but I do believe that once we are saved, in our disobedience, we can be like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, I discipline my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Or the old King James says, a castaway or a reprobate, one that the Lord cannot use. And wouldn't that be a shame to be called of God to be used in some way and to miss that calling, to miss the thing the Lord really wanted you to do? And I think in Samson's case, he was used in spite of himself, not because of himself, but it turns out that he did not realize that there was a line, that when he crossed it, he would no longer be used of the Lord. And so he lost his strength, which of course showed him where his strength really came from. And I think when we look at this, we can look at it from the standpoint of an individual. As I've already said, any one of us can lose the commission that God has laid upon us and the destiny that he wants us to fulfill in our lives. We can lose that, but we can look at him as the church too. And in our day, the church has become very shallow. We're like Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 says of the Laodiceans, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know. That's the thing I'm reading for. You do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And I feel today that the Christian church has become poor and rich and blind and naked, and they don't know it, because we are living in a wealthy land and everybody says they're a Christian, and we know that there's a lot of money and a lot of power associated with building big churches. And I think we've missed the mission altogether, which is to see people reached and saved in a real way where they repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we've missed that mission. But in Samson's case, at the end of his life, his hair began to grow and he regained his strength. And when he was brought into that heathen temple, he was able to pull down the pillars upon him and the Philistines. Verse 30 of Judges 16 says, then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines, and he pushed with his might. And the temple fell on the Lord's and on all the people who were in it, so the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in his life. Obedience always leads to strength, and strength is always something that the Lord wants us to have and wants to use. Now, we need to be saved. We need to fully understand that our blessings come from God, and that without the Lord Jesus, we're going to die and go to a sinner's hell. We're going to perish for all eternity. But with Christ, we're not only going to have eternal life, but we can be used of the Lord in a powerful way. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon our listeners. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.